A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers, set your hearts on the greater gifts. Now I will show you the way which surpasses all the others. If I speak with human tongues and angelic as well, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and with full knowledge comprehend all mysteries, if I have faith great enough to move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give everything I have to feed the poor and hand over my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. It does not put on airs. It is not snobbish. Love is never rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not prone to anger. Neither does it brood over injuries. Love does not rejoice in what is wrong, but rejoices with the truth. There is no limit to love's forbearance, to its trust, its hope, its power to endure. Love never fails. Love never fails. Prophecies will cease. Tongues will be silent. Knowledge will pass away. Our knowledge is imperfect, and our prophesying is imperfect. When the perfect comes, the imperfect will pass away. There are, in the end, three things that last: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love.
Verbum Domini.
Guide me in your truth, O Lord. To you I lift up my soul, O Lord, my God. In you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. No one who waits for you shall be put to shame. Your ways, O Lord, make known to me. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and for you I wait all the day. Good and upright is the Lord. Thus he shows sinners the way. He guides the humble to justice. He teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are kindness and constancy toward those who keep his covenant and his decrees.
Dominus vobiscum,
ecum spiritu tuo,
lectio sancti evangelii secundum Matteum,
gloria tibi Domine.
On one occasion, Jesus said, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, to you I offer praise, for what you have hidden from the learned and the clever you have revealed to the merest of children. Father, it is true. You have graciously willed it so. Everything has been given over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son but the Father, and no one knows the Father but the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will refresh you. Take my yoke upon your shoulders and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. Your souls will find rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. Verbum Domini. Anytime we have some kind of trial in our life, and we know we have to trust God, and that we have to believe Him that He will provide for us. And when sometimes we have to believe Him for great things to happen in our lives, perhaps removing tremendous obstacles, or just giving us the strength to persevere on a daily basis. And trusting God can be difficult. No, it is. It's not easy. Today we celebrate a very holy man of God, a very wise saint, and one who trusted in the Lord in every way. And so he shows us how to place our trust in God. And this saint is Saint Joseph of Cupertino, an Italian saint who was born in 1603, died in 1663. He was a Franciscan conventual. Well, here, Saint Joseph of Cupertino, you know, he was not a really intelligent young man. He grew up without his father, and his mother was said to be very strict. One thing his mother did well for him was teach him the faith and bring him to church. Well, as a young boy, over time, he eventually started to develop a devout life, a prayer and worshiping the Lord. And it sort of was seeming like coming easy to him. Well, with this life of faith, he develops a very strong love for God and fidelity to do his will. And so Joseph of Cupertino, he's drawn to holy things. And eventually he desires to give himself to God as a friar. He loves St. Francis. No, he's impressed with the Franciscan way of living, abandonment and poverty, living the gospel, bringing it alive. So here he is drawn to the Franciscan order. And he makes an attempt to join the Capuchins, and the Capuchins receive him. However, he is very clumsy. No, he's not well educated. And, he's breaking things all the time and running into people, and eventually they get tired of him and have him released from the order. He's only there about 8 or 9 months. So, he comes back home, and he's treated like a failure. No, he had an uncle who was a Franciscan priest, and his uncle was very condescending toward him. And his mother, you know, was feeling a little embarrassed or shamed about his release from the order, the Capuchins. She tried to hide him a little bit. However, you know, she saw in him, of course, she loved him very much, and she wanted to protect him. She wanted to have his name redeemed. And so he made an attempt to join the Franciscan conventuals. And of course, the mother was there to defend her son and to help his cause of entering the order. So here he is, he enters the order, the conventuals. And he was called a tertiary, meaning he's like a secular sort of Franciscan. Months go by, and they eventually receive him to be a brother. So here he is, a brother now. And he, of course, feeling unworthy to become a priest, God is directing him in this way. And he feels a strong conviction to study for the priesthood. At the same time, remember, he's not that intelligent, not that smart. So he trusts God. He believes that God will provide a way for him. He's not good at Latin. You know, it's hard for him to remember things. So, you know, the years of study go by, and, you know, he has a particular verse he likes and all that, a verse of scripture. While they go around, you know, when we came to the final exam, the bishop or cardinal comes in and starts testing everybody, and you know, he's somewhere in the middle, and he goes around asking questions, and you know, everybody's answering very intelligently and brightly, and you know, Joseph of Cupertino, you know, the one question they happen to answer is the only verse that he knows. And so they kind of skip over him. The bishop is impressed, the proctor about with the answers that are given from the class, and so everybody passes, and then hey, they move forward, and he's ordained a priest. And here he is now, a man who's very gifted. But first and foremost, I mean, he's very grounded in a life of prayer, especially a love of the Holy Eucharist, a devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and his loyalty to living like St. Francis. So he has all this going for him. This is a foundation. So here he is, gifted, many spiritual gifts, you know, going into some ecstasies and things like that. And people don't understand him. You know, in fact, there was like two times in his life where they sent him to the Inquisition. You know, he was, of course, treated harshly. You know, they can accuse people of all kinds of things when one has mystical gifts, supernatural, you know, powers and things. And he was accused of those things. And yet, at times, you know, there were superiors he had to live under that were very cruel to him. However, in all these things, he was trusting God. And then he would even go through a season of what many of the spiritual writers, like St. John of the Cross, call the dark night of the soul, when all these gifts, all these supernatural gifts, were taken away from him. And he was living in total darkness. He felt nothing. Oh, but he would trust God, would believe God, that God would provide for him, that God would do something good in his life. No, so in this trust, here he is, abandoning, surrendering to the will of God. And all along, what is happening here? Yeah, he's in this dark night. He's not feeling any sort of consolations or anything like that, or stimulations. But he's with God, and he's believing that something great is coming. And after a while, it does. Here come the gifts again. Here he is, you know, his name is cleared up. Now, and you know, then out of obedience, you know, he does everything. Remember, even during the time after his name was clear and he was, you know, deemed okay by the church, some people still didn't like him, some of the superiors. But being obedient, God worked great miraculous things through him, that the gifts would only increase now. Now he had the gift of casting out demons, and sometimes he would just have to walk into the room just because of his holiness and his obedience, the devil would flee. Sometimes he'd walk in and, you know, person possessed, and he would say, "I'm here out of obedience." And at hearing these pure, these simple words, the devil would run away, because here is a man who's trusting God. And so, you know, as we look at his life here, why could he trust God so much? Well, now we take a look here at the gospel. And Jesus tells us today that, you know, those who are humble, those who have childlike faith, they're the ones who receive the most. They are entrusted with divine wisdom, such as St. Joseph of Cupertino. You know, he's willing, he's surrendering everything to God, believing God with childlike faith. And childlike faith doesn't mean to be immature and to be like some little kid. No. It means to believe God as a child would believe that anything could happen, that God can do the impossible. You know, that's childlike faith there. And so this is what he has here. And then Jesus goes on to say, he tells us to come to me, all those who are heavy burdened. Now he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. It's an invitation to Jesus, to come to Jesus. He says that he's meek and humble of heart. There is a warm welcome there, an invitation. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, what does this mean? Okay, at that time, the people who were Jewish, you know, they lived by the law, and they considered the law to be very burdensome. They called it a burden. It was hard to carry out these things in daily life. So it was burdensome. And then there was the yoke Jesus was referring to. Now, a yoke was fastened on oxes, so they could pull things. Now, but the yoke had to be tailored especially to them with the hands of a carpenter, so it would fit them perfectly. Now, and so here is Jesus saying here that, yeah, we are given a yoke, but it is fitted to us. No, and it is fitted to us in such a way where we could handle it, where it's not too heavy, because God has given it to us. So here, my yoke is easy, my burden light. What does this mean, that yoke is easy, burden light? What makes it light? And here's a secret to Joseph's trusting in the Lord. It's love. Jesus' invitation to us, calling us to himself, is one of love. He calls us because he loves us. He comes to save us because he loves us. And Joseph of Cupertino, he is trusting God through all these trials and troubles of his life. No, sickness, obedience, persecution, you know, the spiritual suffering, interior suffering. He's able to persevere and trust because he loves. That's why St. Paul says here, he says, everything could pass away, but one thing that does not is love. Loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and strength. Loving our neighbor as ourselves. You know, that is the one thing that cannot be taken from us. And through the trials, through these troubles of Joseph of Cupertino, he grew in love for God. And that's why he was entrusted with these very special gifts. No, he was even had the gift of levitation, bilocation, you know, all of these things. You know, and then he had this wisdom, divine wisdom. One time they tried to lock him up, you know, and the people came and tore the walls down. Why? Because he had such wisdom, you know, and then he had this odor of sanctity about him too. It smelled like roses and holy things. So a very fragrant aroma about him. No, but what keeps him grounded is this love for God, a love for the Blessed Virgin Mary, for the Blessed Sacrament. You know, see, these are loving the higher things. And these are the things that help us to stay humble in knowing that, knowing who we are as ourselves, what we have, what we don't have. You know, but knowing that God provides all things. And so here in this, we can trust him, believe him for the impossible, believe that he can do great things in our life, believe that he could help us persevere through anything. So we look to St. Joseph of Cupertino now, looking to his example of love for the Lord, trust in God, and praying that we too can grow in our love for the Lord, and we can trust him in all things. God bless you all.